The Cherished Cats Rescue Alliance was a nonprofit established in Lewisburg to make sure foster cats got a good home. Angela Browse, vice president of the alliance, says the Scratching Post Cat Cafe was the first of its kind in central Pennsylvania. Angela Browse takes the story from here.
Back in 2017, I was working at Bucknell University, and a colleague named Sarah of mine also worked there. And we both did rescue on our own, me in a minimal way. I would find some kittens, or another rescue would find kittens, and I would foster for them, and found myself raising these kittens and really loving it. But then when it was time to adopt them out, you'd have to have people come to your house to meet them. And I found myself always cleaning my house because someone was going to meet these kittens. And it just wasn't ideal and it wasn't convenient. And I had seen in some large cities, such as Washington, D.C., some places in California, I think it was L.A., and New York City, they had what was called cat cafes. And at the time, it was a relatively new concept. They were only in these big cities and it was a big deal and people loved going to visit them. And Sarah was also rescuing cats at the time. And I said to her, you know, we should do this. This is kind of cool. And she listened to my crazy ideas and she said, you know, I just submitted the paperwork to start a nonprofit so I could continue to do this rescue work, but yet do it as a nonprofit and hopefully get some financial donations and help. If we did a cat cafe, perhaps it could fall under this nonprofit. And that's how the idea came about. And within a couple weeks, we were putting together focus groups, recruiting volunteers. We were trying to find some other leaders to join us just to kind of see what people thought of this idea of a cat cafe in Lewisburg.
Well, first of all, the logo that you have is absolutely alluring. It's the logo of a cat, and it's just beautiful. But it's just a very simple logo. But when you go into the cat cafe, it certainly does not look like a rescue shelter in any way, shape, or form. It looks like a beautiful space where these animals have free reign of the house. They have litter boxes that are hidden. And you give people an opportunity to come in, and the cats are the ones that make the decision.
Exactly. You know, the goal is to make it like a living room environment, because if you want to know how a cat's going to behave, you have to kind of see them in a homey environment, not in cages, because cages is not how they're going to live their life in your home. All of our cats are free roaming. We don't use cages. There is occasion where, you know, maybe a cat has surgery and we do have to crate it for a couple days to rest. That's kind of not the norm. But, you know, we don't have any cages in the cafe. It has couches and furniture, so it looks like a living room, feels like a home, and, you know, windows they can look out into. And it also helps to kind of prepare them for a home environment, right? They learn not to scratch on the furniture, and they learn to use a litter box, and they learn where their feeding stations are. And so when you come in to adopt, you see them kind of in the habitat that they would be in your home. And I just think it's definitely beneficial for the people who want to adopt as well as the cats who live there.
It's positively beautiful. I know if I were the cat, I probably would not want to leave that place. But it's beautiful. It really is. But my question is this. If someone does come in and they are fond of a cat and they do adopt them, and they don't have the same kind of situation that maybe you have at the cat cafe, will the cat feel unhappy, and maybe will the owner feel unhappy, and have there been situations where the cat was returned?
We have an application process that we go through, and there are some stipulations if you want to adopt. Most of these cats did come from outdoor areas. They were rescued, whether they came from a colony or were surrendered. But we put a lot of time, effort, and love into these animals, getting them vetted and ready to come to the cafe. So we feel it very important that wherever they are adopted to, they'll have that environment. These cats are not meant to be outside. Outdoor cats have a tendency to get attacked by another animal and hurt or killed. Unfortunately, some cats have been shot at or injured by humans. So indoor is absolutely the safest place for them. It doesn't mean that they have to have a big, beautiful home, you know, for it to go to. We work with renters who may be in an apartment and try to find them the right fit for that cat. Maybe not a really active cat that doesn't need a lot of running and exercise in the home and can be in a smaller space. You definitely don't want to get two very active, playful kittens in a one-room apartment or you'll never sleep again, you know? So we work with that application process to fit the right cat with the right home after the person comes in and meets them. So we do have some stipulations. You have to have landlord approval if you rent. They have to be indoors. You have to continue with vetting. One thing I think that's different from us than maybe some other rescues is we absolutely will not adopt out any cats that are not 100% fully vetted. And by that, I mean, we test them, we snap test them for what's called feline leukemia and FIV. We do their distemper series, which is three vaccines from kitten age, as well as their rabies vaccine. We deworm them, we revolution them for fleas, ticks, and mites. We spay neuter and we microchip. So we invest about $500 into each kitten that we rescue. And then our adoption fee is $150. So the rescue takes a loss and the cat cafe takes a loss on every cat we adopt out. But that's why we fundraise and that's why we do what we do to ensure that these cats are going to their home in the best possible health and not reproducing anywhere, which is kind of why you're in the situation of having so many cats because of the reproduction and people not spay and neutering.
That's a wonderful bonus for someone who's adopting a cat to know that the veterinary bills have already been taken care of with regard to shots and so forth. And so when that cat comes home, it's just trying to get used to the family now. You're in Lewisburg, which is a lovely historic area. So what has been the response to the Cat Cafe?
I'm not 100% certain, but I am 90% certain that Lewisburg and the Lewisburg Scratching Post was one of the very first rural cafes to open in Pennsylvania. There were one or two in big cities like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. But back in 2017, when we opened, this was a very relatively new concept and they weren't in small towns. So we were one of the very first to do it. So the response was huge. We actually reserved a room at the public library and put a plea out on Facebook saying, anyone who would be interested in volunteering to work with us in this cat cafe, come to this meeting. Well, we had a complete full room out the door, down the hallway of people who showed up, probably about 75 people who showed up that first night that were interested in working with us and becoming a volunteer, which was just absolutely amazing. We were blown away. We were just floored. Not only that, but we fundraised to make this happen. And we raised about $25,000 to start so we could remodel a space so we could get all the supplies. So great, great community response. Since 2017, we've trained hundreds of volunteers. Some are Bucknell students who are there with us for 4 years and then they graduate. Some are people who have volunteered with us from the very beginning and continue to volunteer. We at any time have at least over 50 volunteers who take turns doing the cleaning shifts, the feeding shifts, working the open shifts at the cafe when we are open. And we truly could not do this without that amazing volunteer support that and the donor support we have. And the community has rallied. They kept us open during COVID, which is a miracle because so many nonprofit businesses really floundered at that time and they really kept us going. And we've been open 9 years now, and that's amazing. Many cat cafes don't survive, and we've had amazing, amazing support.
It was a brilliant concept to bring to Lewisburg, and I'm so thrilled that it was accepted so approvingly.
Yeah.
Do you know of any other place that has taken your lead and are thinking about maybe establishing a cat cafe in maybe another county?
Yes. When we first started, we partnered with a group from Bloomsburg, and they were actually providing the rescues at the time. You know, they had a lot of cats in their care. So they would bring them to the cafe. We would work with that rescue and they were fabulous. And they said, you know what? It's a lot of work for us to travel back and forth from Bloomsburg to Lewisburg. We'd like to open our own. So, you know, they knew our business model. They worked with us for a good year and a half and they ended up opening one in Bloomsburg as well. And they're doing really well and doing good work. And in that amount of time, our rescue really blew up. And now we supply all of our own cats through our own rescue. So, you know, I know there is one in Bloomsburg. I think there's some in Lancaster now, Harrisburg. So definitely many more in and throughout Pennsylvania. A lot of them are for profit. Not many are strictly nonprofit. Some of them offer coffee shops and wine and whatever while you go and play with the cats. So they're more of a for-profit entity, but ours is strictly nonprofit. And it truly is an adoption platform for the rescue, so people can see the cats that are available for adoption.
It's not a distraction either. When they go into the cat cafe, they're in to adopt a cat. And they want to find the best buddy that they can bring home. So tell me about the reaction of the people who choose the cats. Tell me about what that experience is like.
It's kind of funny. We love the following we have on social media. And sometimes the people who follow us on social media, it's almost like they know the cats better than we do. They follow every story. They follow every adoption. And, you know, we have people who message us 2 years later and they're like, hey, do you remember Willie? I adopted him 4 years ago from the cafe. Here's pictures of him now. So they continue to kind of follow and follow the residents and love to see their happy tale stories. You know, it's just a really positive experience. When someone comes in, you know, we say you don't have to want to adopt a cat to come in. I would say maybe 85% of the people who visit the cat cafe come in just because they want to have interaction with cats. Maybe they live somewhere where they can't have one. Maybe they're a college student in a dorm who misses their cat from home. So they just come into play. And that's great because that helps us pay our rent and keep going. And maybe it's 10 to 15% who are looking to adopt. And they may have seen a beautiful fluffy cat online and came to meet it. And then all of a sudden the typical tabby cat comes and shows them all the love in the world. And they light up and they say, oh my gosh, this is the one. I didn't think I wanted a male tabby cat, but this one just fell in love with my daughter or whatever. And so it's really kind of neat to see that interaction and the joy that the animals bring to the people.
Do you have programs that you implement at the Cat Cafe that catered maybe to the elderly population or maybe people who are going through grief? Sometimes they just need to kind of wind down a little bit, and being around a cat is very relaxing.
You know, we're open to everybody. We've had times where we've done, you know, around Veterans Day, we'll do welcome veterans in for free. We do events at the Cat Cafe where, you know, we've done cat yoga where people can come in and do that. And we have some special programs where if someone can't afford, maybe they have a family of four kids and they can't afford to pay $30-some to bring a family of five in. We have programs where donors help to cover that cost for people. We work with other nonprofits and provide some free passes for places like Transitions where they may want to come in, you know, with their children and visit. We really, really work with the community. We want it to be a community event regardless of ability to pay, age, anything like that. We've also gone into nursing homes and taken some of our kittens into nursing homes to visit since it's too hard to get, you know, a group of people into the cafe that maybe reside in nursing homes. So it's all reliant on volunteers and the time we have. Our board of directors, the majority of us work full time and we're parents and, you know, we have a lot of other responsibilities. So for us to throw an idea out there and have a volunteer say, I'll take that and run with it, it's allowed us to do so much more in the community, which is great.
Now, this was a novel idea that you did the research on and you brought it to Lewisburg and it was successful. So now that you know that it was successful and Bloomsburg took your lead and they have their own cat cafe, what do you see for the future of your nonprofit organization?
Just this past month alone, we were asked to take in over 125 cats through our request form. And so it saddens us so much to have to say no to people, but we know our limitations. We know the number we can have in our care at any given time. We cannot overexert the resources we have. So, you know, we may have 80 to 100 in our care at all times, but that means our foster homes are all filled up. Our finances are all dedicated to those cats. And we have to say no, and that's heartbreaking. So we've turned a lot of our focus into helping to prevent this problem through TNR, which is stands for trap, neuter, return. And so there's so much farmland in this area and open space that there's so many feral cats that are out there reproducing. Mm-hmm. And it's expensive to get a cat spayed or neutered if they're not your family pet and they're feral and you're putting them back outside. So we raise money and dedicate a lot of our resources to helping with trap, neuter, return. And if somebody has a feral cat population and they're overwhelmed and really need help, we say, you know, if you can trap the cat and transport it, we will help cover the cost of it. So we've done over 1,500 cats through our TNR program to prevent thousands and thousands of kittens being born in the wild. It's only a small dent in the problem, but we're doing it and we're going to continue to do it. Resources are difficult. Our veterinarians are stretched very thin and overwhelmed, and we utilize as many partners as we can to make this happen. But one thing we learned was it's not just this feral cat population that is causing the problem. A lot of people have pets that are cats that they do leave outside. They may free roam all day and then come in at night or vice versa, and these are their pets, but they can't afford to get them spayed or neutered. So we were learning that a lot of the problem were people's pets getting pregnant and having kittens outside. So we implemented a Pet Partners in TNR program where we help people pay to actually have their pets done through grants. And that program is still new. We've only been doing it about a year to a year and a half, but we provide financial assistance to pet owners to spay or neuter their own cats, and they apply through our website. We go through an application with them to determine eligibility and guidelines. And, you know, again, that's a way to help control the overpet population.
That's a terrific idea. I'm sure that an awful lot of people really appreciate that. What is the draw of having a cat as a pet?
I grew up, I never had a cat my entire life. I've only had dogs growing up. And then I got married, had children, and my husband said, you know, I'm allergic to cats. So we never had cats. And one day, my little girls at the time and I went to Brook Park Pet Supply, which is right by my house, and they had some kittens there in the shop in a cage that needed a home. And they were getting ready to close for the weekend. You know, my girls were all over these kittens, loving them. And I said, you know, what happens when you leave? And they said, well, they stay here until we open again Monday. They have plenty of food and water. Someone will come in and check on them. And my girls, you could just see their expression like, oh my gosh, they can't be here. Like, we have to take them home. So we did. And we fostered them for two nights and bring them back. And we did. And lo and behold, my husband, he wasn't that allergic that he didn't die. And from that point on, we just kept bringing fosters into our home and just fell in love with these kitties. They have such great personalities. They're so fun. And I pretty much have a foster or two or five in my home throughout the year. And they range anywhere from newborn kittens that, you know, we've bottle fed to senior citizen cats who maybe their owner passed away. And it's really hard to adopt out a 16-year-old cat, you know, but we'll take them in and get them the proper medical care, sometimes pay thousands of dollars to have a full dental done on them or whatever needs done to make them, you know, available for adoption. And they just warm my heart. They make me happy. They're just great little creatures.
They are. They're beautiful. And if you take a look at your website, you have a photo gallery of every single one of them that are there, and they have their own little personalities, their own little poses and faces, and you could almost see the kind of personality they have based on the pictures that you have online. It's just a beautifully thought out idea.
And I have to give, you know, my partner Sarah, who started this with me back in 2017. She is a mastermind and she does beautiful photography and she has an amazing sense of humor, and, you know, she kind of makes our social media and Facebook page and everything what it is, and helps to get some of these misfits adopted. On top of that, we have an amazing board of directors that dedicate so much time towards this. You know, they're not a governing board. They are truly a working board. So they're in there a couple days a week cleaning and transporting to the vet and making financial decisions and taking care of very sick and ill cats. And they're just amazing people, and I couldn't do it without this group.
They definitely go above and beyond. I do have one more question before we close, and that is this. How is it that animals are able to get to a part of our soul that we don't allow people near? How does that happen?
Yeah, they truly are gentle, beautiful creatures. And just the purring alone of a cat is known to decrease the stress level of a human. For the most part, animals, you know, they don't judge us. They are grateful and thankful to have a warm home, to be loved, to have food, to be safe. And, you know, we always tell people when someone says, oh, I just don't have time for a cat. They don't need a ton of your time. They'll take you when they can get you. And if that's at 8 o'clock at night when you finally sit on the couch, they'll sit on the couch with you and they'll just enjoy that time. So if you've ever considered a feline friend, do it. It's well worth it.
Special thanks to Angela Brouse, Vice President of Cherished Cats Rescue Alliance and owner of the Scratching Post Cat Cafe in Lewisburg, the first of its kind in rural Pennsylvania. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.